us pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and mercy that you have abundantly bestowed upon each of us. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be in this place set aside to worship your name, your majesty, your greatness, spirit, and the truth. We thank you for the men and women who are here today. We pray your blessings upon them, God, that you will give them a spiritual blessing, a spiritual empowerment to be and become all that you made them to be in Christ. We pray that all the trials of life will deepen our faith and our conviction to follow you faithfully, to trust you completely, and to know that you are our very present help in time of trouble. Bless this, your word, as it goes forth by your Spirit to the hearts of your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 2, verses 16 through 25, gives us a short synopsis of Moses' 40-year pilgrimage in the desert of Midian. William Temple states, "One who faces his own failures is steadily advancing on the pilgrim's way." Moses arrived at the well. Jethro, the priest of Midian, daughters arrived at the well, and shepherds drove them off. Moses rescued the girls, watered the sheep. He met Zipporah at the well. They got married. He had a son, named him Gershom. God heard the groaning of the Israelites. God remembered his covenant that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Life is like that, isn't it? Have you noticed how quickly life rushes, how fast it moves? And the events are like tidal waves that you cannot prepare for. You just have to embrace the impact. Did Moses learn from his mistakes? Absolutely. Did he make more mistakes as a servant of God? Yes, he did. But they were not continual nor demoralizing. Eventually, he stepped away from reflection on his failures, and he moved forward in a life of obedience to God. If you're going to overcome failures, that's the solution, obedience to God. Especially moral and spiritual failures. There were three stages that took place in Moses' heart, Moses' life. We want to talk about those three stages this morning. Change is possible in failure. Change is possible in failure. First, the development of a servant's attitude. Development of a servant's attitude. Moses was raised, beloved, to be served, not to be a servant. He was adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was the prince of Egypt. It was only natural for a Pharaoh elect to receive preferential treatment. But notice a change in his attitude at the well. Exodus 2, 16 and 17. "Now the priests of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. Seven women came to the well to water their father's flock." In Egypt, he would have expected them to serve him first. He stood up and he assisted them in their distress. He watered their flocks. He took the role of a servant. What is a servant's attitude? Point A. A servant's heart is an inner attitude of humility. A servant's heart is an inner attitude of humility. He's 40 years old. He just left Egypt. He has that mentality of one who would be king. And he sits there at that well thinking about his situation, and he sees women in distress, and he defends their honor. And then he takes the lowly position of a servant. He Jesus came into this world and said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. Moses learned what it meant to serve others. Now, biblical humility, beloved, means believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own. What does God say about you? Then that should be your attitude. The Bible tells us that we should think accurately, correctly about ourselves. That we should not have this self-inflated projection of who we are, but we should think humbly and healthy about who we are. It requires embracing who you are in Christ over who you are in the natural, or who you are in the flesh, or what you have matriculated to in the world system. To be biblically humble is to be so free of concern for your own ego needs that you unreservedly elevate those around you. You make them better. That's what the great Michael Jordan did. He made others around him better. Kobe made other players around him better. LeBron James made others around him better. As Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, when we are in relationship to other people, we should have that kind of influence to make others around us better than they are by being like Christ to them, not feeding our own ego needs. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Remember, he's not telling you not to think about yourself. He's saying think about yourself correctly. Think about yourself clearly. Think about yourself from God's perspective. At age 40, Moses was known for his hubris. At 80, he was renowned for his humility. Come on, somebody. Now, this was God's assessment of Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, God said of Moses, now the man Moses was very meek. Oh, that's at 80. That's not at 40, beloved. Isn't that wonderful that change is possible for us? As it was possible for Moses to change, it's possible for us to change by the power and presence and purposes of God. It says that now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. What an assessment. Not just in the Middle East, but in North Africa, in West Africa, in South Africa, in Europe, in Asia Minor. God's assessment of this man, Moses, was that he was the most humblest man on planet Earth. James 4:6 tells us that God gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, humility is a willingness to be a supporting cast and allow God to take the lead role in your life. You play the background. Let God play the foreground. Let God win the best actor award, and you get supporting actor. John the Baptist says it this way in John 3:30, I must decrease, he must increase. How about you? Are you humble? Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Do you have a proper assessment of who you are before God? Do you have a proper assessment of who you are in relationship to God? And if you know who you are and whose you are, then you will have a proper perspective and assessment of who you are. Beloved, if you're disconnected from Him, you're disconnected from who you are. Secondly, in point B here, a servant's heart is revealing the character of God. That's what humility does. That's what a servant's heart is. It's a revealing of the character of God. If we are servants of God and followers of Christ, there must be something about God in our serving and in our following. If we're serving and following God and there's no impact of God in us, stop following Him. Stop serving Him, because your serving and following is in vain if there's no impact of God in your character. He impacts your character, beloved. He impacts your conduct. He will impact your conversation. He will impact your psychological and sociological and spiritual aspects of your life. If you read the Bible long enough, there were a lot of people claiming the name of God, serving the purpose of God, but they didn't know God. Jesus called them great leaders of Israel. You are like your father, the devil. You are a snake in the grass. You are whitewashed sepulchers. Now he's talking to the leadership of Israel. He's talking to those who hold great positions in the nation. But they took to God with their conversation and no conduct, conversation, no character, conversation, and no transformation of our heart. Is that just like us in the church in America? Oh, we could talk up a good God game, can't we? Some of us will go to the Hebrew on God's name, right? We'll go to the Greek and say, is this? And our hearts have never been affected by this God. But it is to know Hebrew, Greek, and English and say everything correctly and never walk with God. Never know God in a transformative way. Or your life is different because of Him. And I can see the difference. And you can see the difference. And everyone around us can see the difference. What does it mean just to draw near to God with our lips? To have our heart far from Him. But change is possible in our fallen, fragile state. Servant heart is revealing of the character of God. One of the characteristics of God's nature, His being, is faithfulness. Moses cultivated a heart of fidelity to the call of God in the wilderness. And just as Moses was faithful to God's calling on his life at 80, so are believers called to be faithful to the call of God on our life through Jesus Christ, no matter how old or young we are. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called, and I'm called into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That should mean something to us. In our struggles and failures, God is faithful. And just, He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to save. He's faithful to redeem us when we confess and repent of our sins and turn to Him. That's 1 John 1:9, isn't it? If we confess our sins, if we say the same thing that He said about our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify. There's that moral aspect again. That's that cleansing of the heart thing that we're after in confession that we've been taught this morning. We're after purity of heart. But He's able to purify us from all unrighteousness. See, at times when we stumble and fall, it is immensely encouraging to know that God will never abandon us. Even when we are utterly unfaithful, God remains faithful and true, because that is who He is. It is God's character, His being.
still be faithful to the full, merciful to the full, gracious to the full. He sees our foolishness, and he's still faithful toward us. He can take us out. He can say, give me back my breath. And it's over. Period. But he's faithful to us. So listen. The development of a servant's attitude involves humility. It involves the revealing of the character of God. And see, a servant's heart is submissive to God, to God's direction. Now, Moses at age 40 was resistant to follow God's will. Moses is at 80 here, and he's submissive to the leading of God. Not only was he submissive, if you go to Exodus 3 and you see him before the burning bush, you will see that his view of himself, that he wasn't all that great of a person. I can't speak. I stutter. I'm too old. I'm not young. There's more behind me than in front of me. How could you use a person like me? He was humble. He was submissive. He came to, here it is, the end of self. Now, many of us are taught that knowing self and discovering self is the key to self-actualization, to being all you can be. But Jesus teaches that if you lose yourself for his sake, you will find your true self. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. Now, psychologically and spiritually, that contradicts what the world teaches and what New Testament teaches, right? That in the New Testament, we are called to deny self, lose self for the sake of Christ, that we may truly find ourselves. You can only find yourself in the one who made you, the one who created you in his image. Here he is, at the end of self. One writer stated, man's extremity is God's opportunity. When you get to the end of yourself, now God can work. God was looking at you saying, I'm just going to wait on him. I'm going to wait till he or she hits their head as many times as possible. And once they get the headache that they don't want, I'll step in. But until then, I'm going to let them play the fool. Let them play the stage show until they keep hitting their proverbial heads against the wall and come to a place in themselves that they say, you know what? I got to stop this. I got to look up. I got to turn to God. And that's when God steps in and do the supernatural. In order for any Christian, listen to this, to be used mightily by God, he or she must come to the end of self. Selfishness. The end of me, myself, and I. The endless rope, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. Some will say, even God, just be a passenger. Sit in the back. Some will even say, Lord, delay your coming. I'm enjoying life. As though life is not enjoyable in his presence. One who develops a heart attitude of servanthood will be characterized by humility, revealing the character of God and being submissive to God's directions. Secondly, Moses Exodus 2:18-21. It says, when they came home to their father Reuel, who is Jethro, he said, how is it that you have come home so soon today? They said, an Egyptian. They thought he was an Egyptian. Ethnically and culturally, he looked like an Egyptian. But most original Hebrews were people of color. And they did look like Egyptians. Egyptians looked like that. But this was obviously a Hebrew. They said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, even drew water for us and watered the flock. And he said to his daughters, then where is he? Why have you left the man? Tell him that he may eat bread. This man was said, you got a man that served you like that and don't know you? I want to meet him. I have 7 single daughters. Somebody's getting married. Aside, we'll see what this great sight is all about. And then he had his first encounter face to face with the true and living God. The man of Egyptian royalty and fame humbled himself to become a member of a shepherd's home. You know how Egyptians felt about shepherds? Odious people. People who were on the totem pole society at the bottom. Remember Joseph when he went into Egypt and brought his 70 members, family members into Egypt, he told the Pharaoh, you know, my people are shepherds. Then Pharaoh said, well, we're going to put them in a place for them. Goshen. Put them there. Don't bring them into the city. Put them out there in the boondocks. Moses was willing to live away from the spot. Remember when Israel moved, as I just said, they were shepherds. Shepherds were offensive to the Egyptians, socially and culturally. Moses was willing to become a shepherd, something that the Egyptians hated. He was in the shadows of an unknown zip code, in an unproductive community. It was a desert. He marries a poor, one of Jethro's daughters, and Exodus 21:22, it says that she gave birth. Is that 2:22? In 2:22, that she gave birth to a son and called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. I've been a sojourner in a foreign land. I'm a traveler in a foreign land. I'm a pilgrim. And I'm fine, and I have no home. I have no place. I have no people. I'm a stranger out here. Everything about his new life in Midian was different. Life was hard. The comforts of Egypt were missing. Moses was an immigrant in a foreign land. You must be willing to be unknown. Until God makes you know. You must be willing to live in obscurity until God makes you renowned. Thirdly, Moses learned, and lastly, to trust and rely on God. Moses lived 40 years on the backside of a desert tending. Because he, for the first 40 years of his life, he was a prince. The last 40 years, at least the 40 years we're covering, he was a shepherd. children of Israel is crying out to God at this moment in their distress. And Exodus 2, 23 and 25 clearly describes their grief. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, the one that knew Joseph and knew the people of Israel. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. Verse 24, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And I love verse 25, and God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Isn't that wonderful? To know that when you and I cry out, God hears us. He sees us. And he knows us. Is your life going in a circle? Success of being prince of Egypt, hopefully Pharaoh. It is unfortunate that God often brings us to the end of our resources before we listen to him. It's almost like he has to take something away from us in order to give us something. Before God can use us, we must learn to trust him and rely on his guidance and will. It's a trusting factor, not a knowing factor. It's not about understanding. It's not about knowing. It's not about intellect at this point. It's about faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You see, beloved, the good news is that we do not have to remain bruised, battered and broken by our failures. There is a future for us with Almighty God. Our failures can be the catalyst, right, that moves us closer to our divine healer and counselor. When we fail, it is time to step aside with God and reflect on what happened and learn from that. Henry Ford once said that the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. Is that rich? And it's true. The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. It was at that point that God remembered his people and his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the text in Exodus 2, 23-25, as we said earlier, does not mention, here he is, Moses. Moses is nowhere to be found in the text. Moses is many. He's tending his father's sheep. He's raising a family. He probably heard reports about the conditions in Egypt. He didn't rush back, did he? When he went back, he was 80 years old. And God had to push him forward because he felt so inadequate living with the past failures of his life. He probably knew his family was suffering. And he realized, I can't do anything about it. I'm not God. I'm not Savior. Thank you. That's where he wants us. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not God the Father. I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not your Redeemer and Savior. He is. Oh, if we can learn that in our relationships with one another, then we won't have to take on so much burden and try to deliver people whom we can. as he realized, I'm not God. I'm really not the Savior. I'm really not the Redeemer. He is. And see, Sesame the Mills messes up people in America about the life of Moses because they make Moses the hero of the story and not God. And so we think we can be heroes in other people's stories, and we can't because we're not God. Stop trying to be who you're not. His Egyptian training and education was not helping him. It was too many shame. He had come to a place where he was, what, learning to trust God by faith. He was learning to trust God to deliver the Hebrew people. So happened that God had in his plan of deliverance an instrument, and that would be Moses, depending and leaning on him. Lo and behold, now Moses receives an isolation and anonymity. Of self that God says, now at 80, I can use you. Oh yeah, you can't talk now. Oh, I can really use you now. Oh, you're scared. Oh, I'm going to use you now. You see how man's extremities become God's opportunity to do the supernatural. Waited on the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He went to that burning bush. He fell before his face. He heard the voice of God. And God says, I got a rescue plan. I'll use you. Moses learns from his failures and discovers what it means to trust the heart of God even when we can't trace his hands. You have to get there in your walk with God to trust him. Even when you can't trace his hand, you don't see any movement. You don't see any troubling of the water. You don't see any announcements of victory from others. Trust him. If you desire to be used by the Lord, to be an instrument in advancing God's kingdom, you must develop a servant's attitude. You must be willing to serve without notoriety. Oh, I know we want to be in a place where everybody knows our name. But God wants to use us when people don't know who we are. They'll know who he is. You must be totally dependent on him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We give thanks to you for the people of faith revealed in Scripture who serves as possibilities of change and transformation, to experience failures and faults and failings and still trust in you. Teach us today from the life of Moses what is possible when we turn our whole hearts to you in genuine faith and repentance. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the resilience you provide us to persevere through our failures, to learn from them in ways that deepen our faith, empowers us to pursue your purpose and plan for our lives. Because of your great love, we are not consumed. For your compassions never fail. They are new every morning, fresh every morning. Great is your faithfulness to us. Help us to develop, even in our failings, a servant's heart, a submissive heart, and a heart that is totally dependent on you. We ask this in the crucible. crucified.